Hello and welcome to Radioactive, a youth radio program at KUOW.
I'm Chris Odie.
And I'm Kendra Hannah.
Our theme today is Women of Influence. And you may ask, why women?
Well, thousands of years of systematic oppression has kept women out of places of power and influence.
And it was just Mother's Day.
Joan of Arc, Amelia Earhart, Beyoncé.
All influential women.
Your awesome aunt who let you stay at her apartment when you were in a rough patch.
Also an influential woman.
Your brother's girlfriend who turned out to be awesome.
Influential woman.
The point is, not everyone who's influential is famous.
The people we're highlighting today overcame the odds and make a difference in people's lives.
Our first story is about a woman in Shoreline who does exactly that.
She teaches martial arts, and though fighting sports are often portrayed as angry, violent, and very masculine,
the way she teaches transcends the typical stereotypes.
She knows from experience that karate can save your life, both physically and emotionally.
So we'll let Radioactive's Josh Medina introduce us to Sensei Joni Shara.
The sign says USA Karate Academy, but everyone calls it the dojo. It's a Tuesday night, and students of all ages, backgrounds, and levels of experience are practicing kihon, or basic technique. Joni Shara runs the dojo. She's been teaching for 30 years. Her journey started as a kid at a movie theater.
We were watching things like The Seven Samurai, Lady Kung Fu, and these were, of course, my favorite one was Enter the Dragon. And I was always kind of inspired and intrigued by the feats of martial arts actions, but never at that time did I think I was going to actually study martial arts.
Fresh out of high school, Joni took up figure skating, traveled around the world, and got married.
And in those 2 years that I was skating with Ice Capades, I met a kickboxer. I guess to make a long story short, my first teacher is the person that I actually married. I married a martial arts person that happened to have owned a school.
But he was hesitant to teach her. He said that his karate school wasn't a place for women. But things changed after Joni had a run-in with some thugs at the convenience store.
And I had gone there to pick up Pepsi and some ice. That was it.
Two men followed her from the cooler to the cash register. Then they followed her out to her car.
I was putting my hand on the manual locks, and they were tugging at the handle, trying to get into the car. I was feeling this kind of energy in my heart. I just wanted to run. My chest was pounding. My throat was getting tight. And I pretty much just felt this eerie kind of sensation through my whole body.
She got away scared, but at least she got away safe. When she got home, Joni told her husband that she wanted to train in self-defense.
So he said, well, okay, I'll take you on as a student.
At her husband's dojo in Michigan, Joni found the beginnings of a passion in the martial arts. She began to develop the skills needed to protect herself from strangers. But nothing could prepare her for what was to come next. Joni didn't expect that she'd have to defend herself at her own home from the very man that taught her how to do so. It happened one night after she went ice skating for a few hours.
I came into our home, and it was, all the lights were off, and my husband was waiting for me in the dark.
He interrogated her, questioned her whereabouts, and claimed she had been with people that she hadn't.
And he basically beat me so badly that I had a bruised kidney and a black eye and a cracked tooth. Basically proceeded to beat me to the point where I knew I needed to get out of there with my life.
And she did. She took her dog and she left for the airport.
And I hid out for a whole day. And when I was getting ready to board the plane, I received a message stating that he was hurt in the hospital from a motorcycle accident and needed me to return to have someone sign for medical treatment.
She came back for him when he needed her most.
But we did start marital counseling at that point, and we did start attending church regularly as a couple, and we wound up mending fences to the point where we were starting to build a family.
They had kids. Her husband spent more time away from home. Joni spent more time at the dojo, teaching in her husband's place, and eventually, she was running the whole school. But it couldn't last. Joni's husband started to see her as a threat. He wanted to control her life, and Joni's time spent running the dojo made him angry. It all came crashing down on a Saturday night.
I just don't even know how to begin. He just exploded and said that there was no way he would ever let me go anywhere, that there was no way that he would ever let someone else raise his children, and he just more or less flew into a rage. He punched the holes in the door, you know. I tried to call the police, and that's when he ripped the phone out of my hands and ripped the cords out of the wall. He was afraid, and so this fear was just causing him to put more fear into me.
At that point, Joni decided that she had had enough.
And so I left. I just took one change of clothes for me and my boys, each of their favorite toys, $500, and my car. And off we left.
It was done. Joni had endured. I was left with a burning question. How did karate help her through this turmoil?
Well, I think the karate training basically let me know that I was physically capable of taking on challenges, physical challenges. I think the other part was I was able to feel and see danger and recognize the difference between the kind of danger that you can watch and know that nothing's going to happen, and then there's the kind of danger that you can feel and know that if you don't do something, that you're going to not be able to overcome it. So I think what karate training does is it has given me the confidence to know the difference.
It was confidence that led Joni to start a new life for herself in the Northwest. Joni got a job at a health club and got the kids involved at a local karate dojo. She fell in love and got married again. And then something happened. Joni felt called to go back to teaching.
I just happened to want to teach martial arts at the level whereby when I teach it, it's going to have value to the student. And maybe that value is going to be confidence to face dangerous situations. Or maybe that value is going to be inner strength to face peer pressure.
Or maybe, like Joni, to confront fear.
But above all, whatever I teach, I want it to be useful and I want it to be applicable. So if a person has to defend themselves, they'll have the tools to do it.
And so she founded the dojo that became USA Karate Academy. It's a community of 200 students that she teaches with her husband and son. Joni herself is now a Shihan, or master teacher. She uses what she's learned inside and outside the dojo to touch the lives of generations. For Radioactive, I'm Josh Medina.
We all know influential women.
Yeah, because we're like more than half the world.
So, our own Ardo Hersey and Riley Gutman asked people at the University Street Fair about women who influenced them.
Who's an influential woman in your life?
Well, it'd probably be my sister Carol.
Mother Teresa.
Oh, that'd be Gail, who runs the Gargoyle store. She always encouraged me to be artistic growing up, and she just really kind of helped me realize that, you know, being different is just fine. You can still have a lot of fun and do a lot of great things, even if you don't quite fit in.
Probably my mother.
I'm going with my mom because at 53 years old, she was like, I'm bored with what I'm doing. I want adventure. And then she and my dad moved to Taiwan. And they don't know Chinese.
My mom.
Probably my grandma.
My stepmom.
My grandmother. She taught me about nature and respecting things and just all the important things in life.
My mom. She survived my dad's cancer.
My mom, first and foremost. She's the most loving and caring individual I know.
I think probably my mother, just because she was always my biggest fan. And so it gave me just a sense of confidence in anything I did, whether I failed or succeeded. She was always there to just be a supporter.
As we heard, you don't have to be special to help people.
You just have to decide to make a sacrifice for someone else.
Last year, Gabby Seychow gave birth to her son at age 19. And a baby may be a wee thing.
But something so tiny can have the biggest impact of them all. Walter Stanton has more.
Gabby Seychow was in her first year of college when she heard those two dreaded words, you're pregnant. At first, she was in denial, but there was no hiding it.
My mom knew straight away. She was really suspicious. At first, I tried to hide the pregnancy, so that didn't really help.
Gabby decided to keep her child, and 9 months later, she gave birth to her son, Aiden.
I did not get any sleep. Any parent who has had that 3 months of baby nightmarish crying all through the night, they'll understand.
Fortunately for Gabby, she isn't Aiden's only active parent. His father, Isaac, is very much present. He's worked hard to keep food on the table. Still, Gabby has trouble keeping up with her friends.
When you have a kid, making plans with friends can sometimes be a disappointment because sometimes they'll get sick and sometimes they'll just need you and you don't want to leave.
Goodbye!
Aiden was the most important part of her life now. Gabby went from having a wide circle of acquaintances to only a few of her closest friends.
Having a child, you have to think more about taking care of him and just give up on all the silly ideas you have of going out and, like, having teenage fun, I guess.
Gabby had been attending college to major in English so she could become a teacher, but she had to postpone while taking care of Aiden. So she had a while to look at what she wanted to do and make some important choices.
And I completely changed from my original program of choice to something completely different.
She's decided to pursue an education in one of two fields, medicine or computer programming.
Having a child means that you have to have more job stability and you can't just run off on your own.
Gabby uses online resources to self-teach some of the important skills she'll need when she returns to college. One of her major shortfalls is math, an important component to code.
There's Khan Academy for math and science. There's Code Academy if you want to learn Java or HTML or any basic programming. There are actually a lot of things that I do.
What keeps you going?
The idea of a better future. That's really all you can hope for your kids, to have them mature and follow their dreams.
Can I borrow?
Before she had Aiden, Gabby's dream was to teach foreign languages.
In Japan, English is a foreign language, and in America, Japanese would be a foreign language, so learn Japanese and teach one or the other. That was my goal.
She still dreams of visiting Japan, but now Aiden is part of the dream.
You gotta eat all that's on the spoon.
Gabby feels like sometimes she isn't as good at parenting as other people are, but she's trying.
I have a lot of friends on Facebook who are having their kids right now and who are taking care of them. They're doing all of these neat things. They're doing crafts and they're cooking. It makes me a little envious, and all I can do is just mimic that.
Since our interview, Gabby has been hired as a cashier at a home improvement store. It's a small step, but she's proud.
Everybody did something to help me and Aiden in some way. I've gotten so much support. It's really, I need to learn to stand on my own feet. As much support as you can get, you can only get help when you can help yourself.
Yummy. You're such a good boy.
Gabby plans to return to college next year when Aiden is 2. For Radioactive, I'm Walter Stanton.
Thank you so much to Josh Medina and Walter Stanton for contributing their stories.
And to Ardo Hersey and Riley Gutman for working on the Vox Pop.
Radioactive is a youth radio program at KUOW.
You can find more of our stories at our website, kuow.org/radioactive.
Like my interview with Tavi Gevinson, editor of online magazine Rookie.
I think it's important for people to know that you can be a feminist and also like stuff. Like, some people think that once you identify as a feminist, like, all the fun is, you're, like, saying goodbye to fun and you can't enjoy anything anymore.
Many thanks to Jenny Asarno and Lila Kataev, our editors-in-chief.
Who are, in fact, both female.
I find them very influential. Recently, Lila told me chai was good, so I had chai. Boom. Influential.
Thanks for listening.